name is Paola Tester. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. The date is the 27th of August 2009 and the time is 10:15 p.m. Please could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from?
My name is David Syme. I'm 54 and I'm from Killin, which is in Perthshire in Scotland.
And have you travelled to London especially for this hour on the plinth?
Yes, I have. I came down on the sleeper last night.
And has coming to the square and seeing the plinth in action been how you imagined?
Yeah, I guess pretty much so, because I've seen the things on the webcam, on the live feed, and so it's, yeah, I think it's much as I imagined it would be. I think I was down in London earlier in the summer and had a little wander around the plinth just to see what it was like, so that helped as well. It's interesting, it doesn't seem as high on the far side as it does on the side that faces the square, so I'm hoping that's quite comforting.
And how are you feeling about going up?
I'm a bit apprehensive, but it'll be okay. I think I read somewhere where someone else had said that if it's not very good, it'll only be not very good for an hour, but if you didn't do it, you would regret it for the rest of your life. So I think that probably sums it up, yeah. So just got to go for it.
And what have you thought of some of the things that you have seen online or in the square?
They've been quite interesting, but actually what I've thought is that it doesn't really matter what I think of them, because it's the thing is you get your hour, and actually it's not for somebody else to think, oh, that's not very good. The thing that's bothered me a bit is there's been one or two people who have used it to advertise themselves or advertise their books or whatever, and I wasn't sure about that, but then I came to the conclusion in a similar sort of way that actually it's all part of the project, and if that's what people want to do, well, that's okay. That's what they've got their hour and they can do what they want with it, so it's not for me to judge, yeah. Some of it's been quite interesting, some of it's been a bit weird, I think it's been quite good fun to watch, and some of it makes you a little bit more apprehensive about what it's going to be like when you're there, if people are heckling and so on. So actually, for the last week, I've not watched it, so that I wouldn't be put off.
And when you first heard about the project, what is it about it that appealed to you and encouraged you to apply?
I think it was the chance to do something that you wouldn't get a chance to do ever again, probably. And to do something different, and I'm I wouldn't say I'm a great fan of Anthony Gormley's artwork, but I've kind of followed what he's done, and it's all quite interesting stuff, and I thought this was quite an interesting thing as well, and to be part of it would be even more interesting. I'd have to say, I mean, I was quite surprised to kind of win the raffle, if you like, and to get a place, but having done that, it was too good a chance to pass up, a chance to do something that only 2,400 people in the UK are getting a chance to do, yeah.
And what does that opportunity mean to you? Are you able to describe it?
Well, I suppose actually it's just, I've thought about this, and it's part of being a group of people who, I've spoken about this, I'm a GP and I've spoken about it with my partners in the practice, and I'm not sure why that particularly appeals to me, but it is. It's something to do with being in a group, a kind of exclusive group, is part of it. Part of it is getting the chance to stand up on a plinth and look down on Trafalgar Square and all these sorts of other things. But yeah, I guess I'm not quite sure where it comes from, but it's something to do with being part of a group of people that is a kind of closed group somehow or other, and I'm not sure why that is yet.
And what is it that you'll be doing with your hour?
I'm going to put Scottish dress on, if you like, and I'm aware that I know that's kind of stereotypical, but I don't think it matters all that much, because where I come from, I'm involved in the Highland Games and things like that, and you get dressed up like that for the Highland Games, and that's just quite a normal part of life. If you go to a dance or something like that, you put a kilt on, If you go to a wedding, you put a kilt on. My son got married out in Australia a couple of years ago, and we put a kilt on to go out to that. So it's part of my culture. So to be able to bring that to London, I thought was quite important. And I knew it's also a little bit, wherever you go in the Highlands, this is not in a sentimental sort of way, but wherever you go in the Highlands, there are war memorials, and the soldiers on the war memorials always have kilts on. And so I somehow associate being a statue and being on a plinth with being in Highland dress. And I knew from the moment that I thought about doing it that I would have to put the kilt on somehow or other. So that's what I'm going to do. The other things I'm going to do are, we have a local magazine which people take away abroad with them on their holidays and get photographed in all sorts of bizarre places. And it's unlikely that anyone else from my village is going to be able to read the magazine on a plinth in Trafalgar Square. So again, I suppose that's about just something unique chance to do. So I'm going to read that newspaper, and I'm also going to read the newspaper called the Oban Times, which is kind of local newspaper that covers our area, and again for similar sort of reasons, because people take it away to different parts of the world and read it and get photographed. So I'm going to do that as well. Yeah. But I'm not doing anything for, I thought about this, and I'm not going to do anything for, I don't know, for charity or, I'm not sure why, because there are various things that I could have done, and I did think about it, and then I thought, no, I'm just not sure. I can do things for charity in other ways, and I wasn't sure I wanted to do it for that. I kind of thought it might get hijacked a little bit as well. I mean, I've done treks with the British Heart Foundation and stuff like that, and I thought about getting in touch with them, and I could just see it. I could see me somehow being organised by them and not being in control of it myself. And that didn't seem in the spirit of the thing, so I've not done that. But other people might think entirely differently, I know that.
When you heard that you had a place, did you always know that you'd do something revolved around representing being Scottish in your local magazines?
Yeah, I'm really proud of being Scottish, and especially over the last week or two we've had a bit of a kicking over setting terrorists free and stuff like that. But a lot of that bad publicity has been to do with what's happened in Libya, and the decision, I'm absolutely certain the decision to set the man free was the right one. And what happens after that, you don't really have any control of. So all of a sudden, Scotland's become a bit of a pariah state for a week or two. But I'm really intensely proud of being Scottish. I think it's a great country. And so I wanted to represent that side of it to the UK, if you like. Yeah.
And what's the impact that you would like to have or hope to have by going up tonight doing this?
Oh, impact. I'm not sure. That's a good question. I just hope that whoever, I mean, you know, it's from 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock at night, so I don't expect there to be vast crowds of people there. But I just hope they enjoy seeing me up there. That's about the impact that I want to have. I'm not sure it needs to be any more than that. I don't think I need to make a case for anyone, or try and change people's views or anything like that. If it brightens their day a little bit, that's probably fine. Yeah.
And what would you like to take away from the experience?
That's a good question as well. I think just the having done it, really. You could probably ask me that again in an hour or two's time, and I might have a better answer for you. I honestly don't know. I suppose it would be like climbing a mountain or something like that. You've reached the top and done that, and that's probably what I'll be taking away from it. I just think it'd be interesting. I mean, there's another little side to it, in that my older son was born on the 21st of October, which is Trafalgar Day, as it happens, and so there's always been that's led to kind of a little bit of interest in Nelson. Nelson's on his column there, and I'm sure Nelson was a complete psychopath, but was extremely brave, and I think because of being crazy as well as brave, did some amazing things, and is really quite a kind of hero figure. So because my son's birthday being the 21st of October, there is actually another Nelson monument, probably lots of Nelson monuments, but there's one in Edinburgh, and on the 21st of October they fly flags from it. And for various reasons, we used to be in Edinburgh and it was my son's birthday, so we used to say to him, look at the flying flags because it's your birthday. It took him a year or two to realise that actually it wasn't because it was his birthday. So maybe there's that, maybe there's a little bit of standing in the same square as Nelson, you know. Yeah. That's about it, really.
Who would you say that you're doing it for?
Me, absolutely. I think it's a completely selfish thing, I think. Because I'm not going to raise money for anyone else. I'm doing it just... I think sometimes if you get the chance to do something that's different and you're not sure what it's going to be like, you just ought to do it and then you'll find out. So... I've no illusions I'm doing it for anyone other than myself, not at all. So it's just to something that, well, everything changes you in some way, but it may change me in some way or other. I don't know. I think, well, as I say, and I don't think I will know until I've done it. I suppose it comes back to this. I suppose if nobody put themselves forward, it wouldn't have happened. So there's a little element of maybe helping out to actually contribute something to making this happen. But that must be probably quite a small part. A big part of it is just to see how I get on, you know, and maybe challenge myself a little bit, because standing up in front of lots of people who I don't know, I don't mind standing up in front of a room full of people if I've got a talk to give or something like that. So I'm not shy in that particular way. But I'm not necessarily good with a crowd of people that I don't know, and that I'm quite sure why I'm there. So I think that'll be quite interesting. Yeah.
And have you felt pressure to entertain people watching, or are you happy with it being your hour?
No, I think I'm quite happy with it being my hour, because I think there is this thing about it. Well, it is your hour, and some people have gone up to entertain, and some people have gone up to inform, I suppose, and some people have gone up to raise, maybe not to raise money, but to try and promote various good causes, and some people have gone up just to be themselves. And I suppose I'm in that kind of that last category. So I don't really feel under pressure to entertain. If that happens, then it happens, and if there's a bit of interaction, that's fine. But it wouldn't bother me. If there was no one, in fact, in some ways I suppose it would be easier if there was no one in the square and you just had to stand there and kind of be something on the plinth, then, or someone on the plinth, then it would be a bit more straightforward. I need to entertain.
Do you have any expectations about the hour and how it will be?
I think it would be interesting to see whether it seems like a long hour or a short hour, if you see what I mean. I suspect it will probably go quite quickly, although I suspect it will probably go quicker actually if you do have a bit of interaction with the people round about. I suspect if you're actually not doing it, well, I guess I know if you're not doing anything, time will drag a bit. So I suppose that would be the interesting thing, is to see whether the time goes quick or slow. Yeah. Other than that, no, I don't know. That's part of it's in some ways it's maybe not having any expectation, or having lots of diffuse expectations that you're not really sure what it's going to be like, and to get those to get those resolved into however it is for that hour, because my hour will be different from someone else's hour, definitely from everyone else's hour.
And would you like people to interact with you?
It depends. I mean, I suppose I'd quite like people to interact with me nicely, I suppose would be the thinking about it. Rather than in a sort of destructive way. And I'm not sure if you were heckled, I'm not quite sure how I would cope with that, because I'm not, I wouldn't think I'm particularly quick-witted or good with the comebacks. I mean, the sort of heckling I expect, because I'm going to wear a kilt, is this usual thing, is, you know, what do you wear under the kilt? And I've got one or two replies kind of organised for that, along the lines of, well, it's a secret, and you have to strangle a haggis with your bare hands before I could be able to tell you, and, you know, these sorts of things. Again, with the kind of, which are fairly stereotypical. But as long as it's at that kind of level, I mean, it depends. If I think you are standing up there for an hour, and you could get people being quite mean and nasty to you, and I sort of hope that won't happen. But then, well, we'll find out. You know.
Would you mind just telling us a little bit about what you do in day-to-day life? You mentioned that you're a GP.
I'm a GP, yeah. I'm a GP in a sort of little practice in rural Scotland, not away high up, remote in the Highlands, but we're quite lucky. We're sort of in the Highlands, but we're not terribly remote. We're about an hour and a half, 2 hours from Edinburgh and Glasgow, so it's not too far to go if you want a day in the town, but far enough away that we're in the hills and it's quite quiet and rural. Let's see, I've been there 27 years, and I just really enjoy it. It's brilliant. It's great being a GP in a small community, because you know most of the people. And I suppose the downside, some people think the downside is that they know you as well, but that's okay. I've always known that going to a small place, in a way you would be visible to everyone else. I suppose like being on the plinth in a way. And when I took up the job, decided that people would just have to take me as they found me, and if I was drunk in the pub on my nights off and stuff like that, well, that would be the way it was. I really enjoy it, and I do a bit of hill walking and sailing and all these sort of outdoor country sort of things that you do, just have a great time. I'm actually feeling very lucky, because I get paid to stay in a really nice place, do a job that I like, and have fun.
And what are the things that are important to you in your life?
The things that are important to me. I've got two sons. One, I think I mentioned, one's in Australia, and one's a boomerang child, because he's back home again. My wife, who is a self-employed, self-taught tax expert, and kind of keeps me in line and makes sure I don't spend all the family fortunes and stuff like that. She's actually away. She's having a creative week away writing a pantomime this week. Which was organised, her week away was organised before my sort of name was drawn out of the hat for doing this. So I've actually no idea where she is this week, so she certainly won't be, well, at least I don't expect that she'll be down underneath the plinth kind of waving at me. One son's in Australia. I've sent him the web address, so I'm hopefully he'll maybe be watching on the webcam. And I know my other son will be watching on the webcam at home. Yeah.
And what have their reactions been to you doing this?
Actually, they're quite supportive. My wife can't quite understand why I want to do it. And one son, I've sent him the stuff, but I've not heard from him, so I don't know what he feels about it, because I've not had a reply from Australia. But my younger son, he's quite supportive, and certainly I know he'll be watching. On the sort of live feed thing tonight, so I think he's quite interested. Yeah.
And have you taken part in arts projects before?
I was thinking about this when I was filling the forms, and not really in the sense of these sort of formal things, but we in the village we have a really active drama club, and they do a pantomime every year in January, and one of the things is any village child who turns up to the auditions will be on stage in January, and I give a hand with that. So I have appeared on the stage on a couple of occasions, but usually just briefly. but mostly I do backstage, and I'll help with scenery building and all that sort of stuff. And in the middle of January, we fill the village hall for 3 nights, and so that's about 400 people each night. And it's just brilliant, because they raise quite a lot of money to do the pantomime, so they get lots of lighting effects and sound effects and all that sort of stuff. And last year I think they had confetti bombs, yeah, so the finale there are lights all over the place, and confetti appears from the ceiling, so yeah, it's just brilliant. So I'll go to galleries and things. If I'm in Edinburgh, I might go to a gallery, but probably not that sort of formal art, but more kind of community-based art, which is, it's just as important probably, yeah. So singing and dancing and all that sort of stuff, yeah.
And how would you summarise your experience of this project since you heard you had a place to this moment now?
I suppose it's probably a bit like a snowball, that it sort of starts off small, and the nearer you get to it, the bigger an importance it assumes. But it's been fine, but I've been surprised how much I've thought about it and been a bit anxious about it. But then it's a big thing, it's something. I'm always telling my patients that a thing that makes you anxious is not knowing, so I suppose that's what it's about. That if you knew you were going to go up there for an hour and people were going to throw things at you, you could prepare for that. And if you knew you were going to go up for an hour and people were going to be really nice to you and throw flowers at you, then that would be okay as well. I guess the problem is you don't know. So you don't quite know what it's going to be like. And I think that's quite anxiety provoking. And not in a big way. I'm not going to run off or anything like that. But I'm aware that it's just, until you do it, you're just not quite sure what it's going to be like.
Aye. Remember what they were?
I put Tuchter to Trafalgar, yeah. The funny thing with that was that I've got a friend in Brighton who I'd been away trekking with, and I sent him an email to say I was going to go up and wear the Highland dress and play Tuchter Tuchter music, see. And it just didn't occur to me, because I know what Tuchter Tuchter music is, which is the sort of thing you have at Cayley's and stuff like that. And he sent me an email back saying, well, why is it you're going on this plinth? And anyway, what is Tuchter Tuchter music? So when I was thinking of my three words, I thought, well, I need to get Tuchter in there somewhere, and I wanted them to alliterate, so that was where the Tuchter to Trafalgar came in. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.